This is Caps PA announcer Wes Johnson, and you're listening to What the
What the Puckers, welcome to What the Puck. Thank you for tuning in. I'm Brando. You can follow me on Twitter at Brando Cash if you haven't already. And Skyping in with me as always, we got Coach Dan. What's going on, man?
I'm not too bad. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. Of course, you can follow Dan as well on Twitter at WTP Coach Dan. Dan, I don't know about you, man, but things are getting a little scary in the D.C. area. The Capitals, last place in the entire NHL. I think we all knew there was going to be some rust and a lot of problems with the new system, new coach, people coming off the lockout, not playing for a long time. I don't think anybody expected this.
This is no time to panic.
This is the perfect time to panic!
Yeah, I didn't think that it was going to be quite this bad. I know for the last couple of shows, you've been saying, you know, everybody just relax, they're going to struggle out of the gate, and then they'll be okay. I don't think we ever thought it was going to be quite this ugly, and continually ugly. It looked at one point like they were progressing, and now it's just, especially with last night's game against Toronto, that they just had this huge step back. I mean, they just looked ugly last night. So I think there is certainly cause for concern. I think the roster is not gelling quite like the way they would want. The system... You know, I think the system is going to work if the players can play it correctly, because we've seen, especially in the game against the Flyers, one of the only two games they won, one of them was against the Flyers, was the system worked, and it worked really well. Constant forechecking, keeping the opposing team's defense constantly moving, cycling the puck in the offensive zone to wear out the other team. It worked. But then you go and you play in a game like last night against the Maple Leafs where they just looked horrendous. I mean, the whole thing was a comedy of errors. It was ugly. Neuwirth lets in a weak, really weak shot that never should have gone in. And then he has that moment behind the net with Tom Pody where they were almost too polite to one another. No, you take the puck. No, it's okay. You can have it. Then Van Riemsdyk comes in and goes, well, I'll just take it and put it in the net and make you all look like idiots. So it looks bad. I certainly think that there's certainly a reason to be concerned now. And Dave Nichols, who covers the Washington Nationals for the District Sports page, he thinks it will take roughly 55 points to make the playoffs. He put this out on Twitter. Caps, that means the Caps will have to go 22-10-6 the rest of the way if they want to make the playoffs. With the way they're playing right now, I don't think that's possible.
It's a scary thought to think about, not only not winning like the Southeast Division, because the Capitals have kind of been used to that, even though they lost it last year. That was just kind of like a given after a couple years of constantly repeating winning that title. But this is really sad, man. I mean, last place in the entire NHL. I don't see these guys making the playoffs right now. And yeah, it is a shortened season and we're 10 games in, but that's why it's so important to get these points now. You're in a shortened season. It's nasty out there, and you've got people that are really looking good. I mean, look at the Blackhawks. They look amazing this season. You'd think that the lockout actually helped these guys, but the Capitals have so many things working against them, yet we have all the talent in the world. We got some really talented hockey players. We got guys with a lot of grit. We got one of the best players in the world, Ovechkin. But like Chimera said today, it's not just one guy. It's an entire team. And I think the biggest thing with this team is they're not playing as a team. These guys are getting bunched up in the corner. They're not playing to where they're supposed to be. The passing in this team the last couple of games has just been terrible. I mean, they'll pass it to like, I think you brought it up last week. Green's passing stuff to Ovechkin's feet, not to his stick. And now they have to like stop where they're skating. They have to get the puck, resettle, and then they have to keep going. Nothing flows here. It seems like it's like somebody, the best way I can compare it, it's as if somebody has just got their learner's permit and learning to drive, and they're like stepping on the gas and then slamming on the brakes. Like, there's no consistency here. It's really bad.
I really like, that's clever. I like that.
Coach Dan. I try. I'm somewhat smart.
I mean, Green's passing alone, I don't know what's wrong with him. If we want to sort of focus on Mike Green real quick, I don't know what happens. He plays decent enough, good enough for the first 40 minutes, and then you get to the third period, and especially last night, I mean, he just looks horrible. His passing is incredibly lazy. He just passes to pass it. I don't even know if he's looking where he's going half the time, or he just doesn't see the opposing team. There's one point last night where he had it in one of the faceoff circles in his own end, and he passed it out straight, just directly on a straight line to the opposing team who was sitting at the red line. I was like, what are you doing? Pay attention. If you're going to make these, like, these, you know, two-line passes, you have to pay attention to what you're doing, or three-line passes. Like, you really have to pay attention. He's not doing that. I don't understand. It's not all their physical shape. It's not all conditioning. Some of this is a mental focus, and they don't seem to have it.
No, not at all. I mean, we can, you know, we talk about Mike Green here being inconsistent. We said it last week. He's a guy who didn't do anything in the lockout, and he just stayed in D.C., but we thought it was to help him heal. He's had a lot of bad injuries, and he's been off the ice for a long time. But at this point, 10 games in, that rust should be worn off, and he should be back into game shape, and it doesn't look like he is. Last night's game against Toronto on Tuesday, we were both there. Michael Neuwirth had just one of the worst games, I think, of his career, at least on the NHL level. I mean, like you said, that move with Tom Pody in the back where it ended up in a goal was terrible. The fact that, I don't know if it was his call or not, but they pulled the goalie, they pulled Nuvi when Toronto was still in their own in the Capitals zone. I mean, that looked just terrible. He's going off to the goal, and now we have Toronto coming straight to the goal as Nuvi's coming off. It looked bush league. It looked terrible.
Put that one on Neuwirth. That was bad, but that was the result of Neuwirth came off when he was called because the Caps had possession of the puck, and then they immediately turned it over.
I don't want to put that all on Nuvi. I don't know if it was just him being told at a minute 20, come out no matter what, or if he was waved down, or if he didn't see where the puck was. So I don't know if it was a coach call or his call, but something there didn't work. But those kind of mistakes, knowing who has the puck, should not be a major problem. You should always know who has the puck, and you should always know where it is, even if you are leaving the ice. I mean, that seems like hockey 101.
Yeah, they're making these comedy of errors, these just stupid things that they're doing that is costing them points, and that they're going to end up struggling, and if they continue to do these stupid things, they're not going to make the playoffs. The fans aren't going to be coming to games, and then who knows? I don't think it's Oates' fault. I don't think he deserves or should be fired. I think he deserves a full season and even potentially next season to be able to have a full off season to implement his system. There's questions being raised as to whether the Capitals have the right players to be able to pull this off, to get his system going. And I wonder how long before George McPhee is going to make a trade to shake things up. And it doesn't help in regards to trade speculation with Mike Gillis and his assistant GM being in the building Sunday when they played the Penguins. Now, I don't think they're going to go out and get Roberto Luongo since Gillis is the general manager of the Vancouver Canucks. I don't think they're going to get Luongo. But it makes you wonder how long before McPhee decided to make a trade.
Well, it is very interesting. I don't think that he wants to trade out Nuvi or Holtby. I think he saw what Holtby is capable of in the postseason. And even though Holtby has not looked good this season around, I think they're hoping that he'll get out of that funk. And Nuvi, I mean, he has looked good, except for last night's game against Toronto. He has looked good up until then. So it'll be very interesting. But what I'm reading on Twitter and on ESPN, Pierre LeBrun, I think he did an article too, that George McPhee apparently is blowing up a lot of phone lines, and he's trying to make a few trades, and he's trying to get this team kind of functioning again, and he wants to get some new bodies in there. So it looks like McPhee is ready to make some trades. It's just, what guys is he going to let go, and is there any interest to take any of these guys that are on a last-place team out there?
Well, in regards to trade value, I certainly think they have a bunch of guys that are valuable that they just aren't going to move. I mean, you look at Ovechkin, Backstrom, Green, you know, you're not going to move those guys. I don't think they're going to move Forsberg or maybe Kuznetsov because he's not coming over for another year. I could see that if the return is really good, but I wouldn't expect it. I don't think they're going to move Alzner or Carlson, even though Carlson, who is looking horrible this season, he's been on the ice for 21 out of 35 goals against them so far. I don't think they're going to move him. I don't think you move it Dmitry Orlov. There was a rumor I read about Vancouver being interested in Kondratic. If the return is good, I could see them moving him out. I think as you get closer to the deadline, a guy like a Roman Hamrlik has a lot of trade value because his contract is ending. Jeff Schultz has zero trade value. I think if you find a way to move him, he's part of another deal. And if he doesn't get traded, he's going to end up getting amnesty bought out later on. One guy who while I wouldn't exactly be happy to move out, I can understand it if the value of what they get back is good and can help this team going forward, is a guy like a Marcus Johansson. And the reason I say that is because they have Philip Forsberg waiting to come over next season. I think if you move out Johansson and you bring in someone who could potentially or right now can play a top six role, you do it. Because you can replace him next season with Forsberg or be able to go into free agency and replace his production. Because, yes, he scored last night. This season he has not looked good. He doesn't look like he necessarily understands the system. He doesn't shoot at the right time. He doesn't know what to do with the puck half the time. And he's creating a lot of turnovers. It's not helping. So if you can move him out and get a good return, as much as I like Marcus Johansson and what he brings to the team, I think he right now is your best trade, has the best trade value out of anyone you're going to want to move.
Yeah, I think that on the defensive side, because I'm not a big fan of him, but he does have a lot of value for a younger team to have that veteran in the locker room. But Hammerlick, he would be a good guy to go somewhere else. But offensively, like Mike Ribeiro, I think he has some value to him, but he just got here and he seems to be gelling somewhat with Ovechkin, at least on a few points. So I think you want to give him a little bit more time with your star if you're going to build around your star. So I don't see Ribeiro going anywhere. Joel Ward's had a good season, but he's a little expensive, so maybe they'll try to take him somewhere else. Who knows? But Marcus Johansson, I could see going. Matty P, he said, if I'm not in your plan, trade me. So if Matty P,
he's got no value.
If he had, like, he might be like a Schultz kind of deal. He goes off with somebody else, for one
package
player.
Him. Yeah, I could see you packaging him.
So maybe something like that, since he's kind of voiced his displeasure. Hammerlick voiced his displeasure last year, but he's still here. So maybe if you get like Hammerlick and Perreault out at the same time, if that's possible. I mean, you don't know what's going to happen. You don't know what McPhee's doing. But if the rumors are true, he's not happy with this team, and he wants to get moving. Supposedly, in the summer, he didn't make a lot of big trades because he thought this entire season was going to be going away in a lockout. He thought the entire season just wasn't going to happen and it was going to be completely locked out. So maybe he's kind of scrambling right now given the fact that the shortened season has shown up now. So there's a billion things that could happen. We don't know. This is all speculation. But there's a good chance that he makes a couple trades in the next couple days. If our record is correct, he's going to make a trade tomorrow after we release this episode.
he totally would. Every time, man. Every time.
So, what else is going on with the Capitals? I guess we got to talk about this. I don't want to talk about it because it's a dumb move by one of my favorite players. But John Erskine got suspended for this elbow to the head, and even though he's one of my favorite players on the Capitals and I'm a big fan, that was a pretty dumb move on his part.
It was it wasn't like a thing where he went to hit the guy and the elbow happened to come up. Like, he stuck it out and he hit Simmons in the head, and he shouldn't have done it. And he deserved 3-game suspension. It was unfortunate timing since they're playing the Penguins twice, but it was a dumb move. But now that he's out, we've seen Tom Pody play. And I actually think, with the exception of last night's miscommunication between him and Neuwirth, I think Tom Pody's playing pretty well, and I like having him on this team right now.
Pody has looked good. The Erskine hit, I think maybe 2 games would have been a good max for him, because even though it was a bad hit, I know it was 3 games because it was to the head, and I don't think it was a reckless move, as Shanahan said, but I think that he put that elbow up thinking that he could make contact with the Flyers, like chest or shoulder or something like that. I think he just kind of I guess he measured his height to the guy he was hitting the height, and his elbow hit the other guy's head. So I think that it was a bad move. He shouldn't have done it. He's got to keep those elbows in. But I think he's been there for 9 years, I think, and he's never had a suspension before. So 3 games, I think, is a little excessive. But hey, what are you going to do when you hit some guy in the head and that's what they're really trying to prevent? Of course, the hammer's going to come down. So bad news for Erskine. I feel bad for the guy missing 3 games, but because he's not a bad guy and he's not reckless, but at that time, that was a dumb move.
Yeah, word is he tried to reach out to Wayne Simmons afterwards. I don't know if he actually made contact with him, but he tried to reach out to him and apologize for the hit. So it was a classy move by Erskine.
bad news for Erskine, good news for Tom Pody. He gets to play a little bit more and doesn't have to sit in the press box anymore. These games have looked nasty, and we've gotten one win since we've talked last against the Flyers. Holpe was in net, and the guys looked pretty good, so it seems like they can get goals and they can get wins, but they're few and far between. But I think the biggest thing this team has to do right now is they got to communicate with each other and they got to play as a team. It seems like it's just a bunch of guys out there playing for themselves and not working together.
Yeah, I think you put it perfectly. I think communication is off. The passing is off. I think we need some more time with Ovechkin and Ribeiro to see how they do. They need a little time to gel. I think the lines sort of need to settle down so that guys can sort of – they understand where each other is playing. Yeah, they asked, I believe, Troy Brower about this, and he says, well, you could tell he was a little frustrated by the fact that the lines keep getting moved around. But – and he's like, well, I've played with everybody, and we know each other well enough that we should be able to play together. To some extent, that's true. But when you're playing together, you need to know where the other guy's going to go without even almost looking up. You should just know what they're going to be doing. We see this in the past with Ovechkin and Backstrom where they know what the other guy's going to do. So they need some more time together, get Ribeiro and Ovechkin some more time, have them settle down with someone on the left wing. Johansson, he looked okay at the beginning of the game last night, but after the beginning of the game when Volsky was on that line. I'd like to see Volsky back on that line, even though he was ineffective last night. But, they need time. Communication's off. That's the biggest thing right now, I think, is communication and concentration.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with you. So what else is going on in the Caps world? Did we miss anything?
Brooks Like is back in skating. I believe so is Jack Hillen, but I believe Like actually skated during practice today somewhat. I don't know if he's quite been cleared for contact, but it looks like he's getting closer and closer to returning. And a congrats to Tomas Kondratic on getting his first NHL point with an assist last night. So that's pretty awesome for him. And a little pet peeve of mine is, can we get rid of Hattrick, that stupid other mascot? I had to put this out there. I hate that thing. I don't understand why I understand the need for one mascot. It's fun for the kids. It's a nice little thing to throw out there. Why do we need a second one? he looks ridiculous. Can we just get rid of the other one, please?
You don't like his backwards hat? He's hip.
He's an idiot. Make it go away right now.
Well, it's Slapshot's little brother, so maybe it was like bring your brother to work day. Who knows? But
no, if you want another one, borrow one of the mascots from another team. Bring in the Wizards guy. I don't even know if the Mystics have one. You can bring in what's his name? Talon from DC United. You can bring in Screech from the Nationals. Like or you know what would have worked perfectly? As much as it pains me to say this, you could have brought in the Ravens mascot since they just won the Super Bowl.
That's right, they did. How's that feel?
Wanted to have a second – I'm ignoring you. If you wanted to have a second mascot, bring in someone from another team. You don't have to have this, like, stupid mini-me version of Slapshot. You know, it's just – whatever. It doesn't matter. Let's move on back to hockey.
All right. Enough bashing of mascots, I guess. We can talk hockey again. But you know who we are going to talk about? How about Coco the Bear? He's up 83, where we're going to talk Hershey Bears and Reading Royals. All right, man. Well, the All-Star game in the AHL is finally over. The Hershey Bears are back in action. How are they doing since the break?
Well, since we last talked, Hershey went 2-0-1 with a shootout win over Lake Erie, being one of those ones. They've fallen to fourth in the East Division at 22-19-5. However, they are currently eighth in the Eastern Conference, so they are still in the playoff race. And a congrats to Patrick McNeil, a Bears defenseman who's played in his 300th career game back on February 3rd. So that is awesome for him.
That's good for them. What about Reading? How are they doing?
Since we last talked, Reading went 1-1, getting a game-winning goal from our buddy Stan Galiev. No reason he's our buddy. I just like his name because I don't know how to pronounce it correctly. he got the game-winning goal in their win over the Wheeling Nailers, which I believe is the ECHL affiliate of the Pittsburgh Penguins. So, ha! Reading is currently 31-11-5, good for 67 points, 17 more than the second-place Elmira Jackals, who I continually mention every week because apparently there's no other teams in the ECHL that can catch up. They're also first in the Eastern Conference, 5 points up on the Greenville Road Warriors, which I thought was a pretty cool name. They're also 2 points out of first in the entire ECHL behind the Ontario Reign and the Alaska Aces, both of which are in the Western Conference of the ECHL.
Nice. Alaska Aces, man. That's a cool name. I like that.
I kind of want an Alaska Aces jersey. I don't know what it looks like. I just think it would be kind of cool to have. Redding also recently have loaned out defenseman Adam Comrie, who I believe is a Richmond native, and forward Kirk McDonald to different AHL teams. I believe one in Worcester, which is the minor league affiliate of the San Jose Sharks. And Kirk McDonald went to Houston, I believe, who I don't know who they're affiliated with. The Stars, probably.
Hopefully that's correct. But you know what I was thinking? You know, you brought this up earlier. I think we should have Stan Galiev on the show here so we can at least just figure out how to say his last name.
Yeah, we don't have to interview him. We just call him up and be like, hey, how do you pronounce your name? Oh, okay. All right. Thanks, man.
It's perfect. If anybody in Reading up there can help us out to get Stan on this show, please let us know. We'd love to talk to him a little bit about hockey.
Help us out.
Come on. Yeah, let's do it, man. Help us out, man. All right, cool. So is that it for our farm teams?
That's it right now.
That's it right now. Go Bears, go Royals. Let's talk about what's going on around the NHL. Let's talk about people that aren't in last place. What's going on in the league?
Well, somebody's got to be in last place in the West. It's not just us. But, yeah, this is sucks pretty much. Yeah. The New York Rangers have sent forward Mike Rupp to Minnesota for Darryl Poe and Nick Palmieri. I believe the Rangers then sent Palmieri down to the Connecticut Whale in the AHL. I remember last week I actually talked about Canadiens forward Max Pacioretty, who was supposed to be out 3 to 4 weeks with an emergency appendectomy. You remember that?
I do.
He was out 8 days.
Oh, wow.
He then played February 3rd against Ottawa, recording an assist, and was a +2. Dude's a hockey player. This is the same guy that Zdeno Chara, remember, he basically picked him up and shoved him into the stanchion right along the, I believe it was the bench.
Right.
And, like, just jacked him up really bad. Same dude. This guy cannot stay healthy. But instead of 3 to 4 weeks, it's 8 days. So that's pretty crazy. That's a hockey player. That's the guy you want on your team.
Yeah.
Blue Jackets forward Brandon Dubinsky has been fined $10,000, which is the maximum allowed under the collective bargaining agreement, for boarding Kings defenseman Rob Scuderi. Speaking of the LA Kings, they made a trade with the New Jersey Devils. The Kings sent center Andre Loktionov for a 5th-round pick. So New Jersey gets a new center. And St. Louis Blues forward Vladimir Tarasenko, who's been playing on my girlfriend's fantasy hockey team, which I picked him up first, he's been named the NHL Rookie of the Month for January. This dude is tearing it up. Tarasenko is one of those guys that I would love to have on the Capitals because he certainly looks like he is going to be a very good NHL player for a long time. That is all of the interesting NHL news.
Well, that's cool, man. I tweeted this to you earlier, a little bit more hockey news going on around the world. But today, February 6th, is the one-year mark for the Winter Olympics. So 1 year from today, we are going to be enjoying some international big-time hockey, man. I don't know about you. I'm excited for this.
I'm excited. I have a USA Ryan Miller jersey that I will be wearing.
You got to expect Ryan Miller to be able to start again. I mean, after the Olympic season that pretty much that he had just a few years ago. I mean, he really was the number one guy. He got Americans really excited about hockey.
Well, yeah, I think it's either going to be Ryan Miller or Jonathan Quick. I'm sure someone else next season will come out of nowhere and everyone's going to, oh, pick that guy. But I really think it's going to come down to Ryan Miller and Jonathan Quick between the net.
And where did Jonathan Quick come from? The Reading Royals. Oh, little
I see what you did there.
Bringing it all around.
He was still part of the LA Kings system, but I see what you did there.
I know. But bringing it all around, back to our boys up in Reading. This is kind of fun news. If you're local here in the D.C., Virginia, Maryland area, but Dan and mine's alma mater is actually going to have a televised hockey game coming up this weekend on Saturday. Their women's ice hockey team will be playing Connecticut College on Saturday, and the game starts at 5:30, and it's going to be on MPT2. So if you're in the area, if you're in Baltimore, D.C., Salisbury, Southern PA, and have Comcast, you're going to be tuning into channel 268. And if you have Verizon Fios in Baltimore, Anne Arundel, or Howard counties, you're going to go to channel 480, and you can see hockey before the Caps play the Florida Panthers that night. So whole day of hockey. Chill out in your man cave or your basement, wherever you watch hockey, and watch hockey all day long. And it's pretty cool. I get to help produce the show and the game on Saturday. So I'm pretty excited. So 5:30, MPT2, women's ice hockey, Stevenson Mustangs versus Connecticut College. So enjoy that before the Caps play And, Dan, before we wrap everything up for tonight, the Capitals are going to have a few games before we talk again, so let's just kind of let people know about that schedule. On Thursday the 7th, this is probably, if you're an early bird and you subscribe to the podcast, this is probably when you're going to be listening to us. Thursday the 7th, it's going to be Capitals at Pittsburgh at 7 o'clock, and it's on the NHL Network. It could be on CSN as well. It might be blacked out locally, but it's supposed to be on the NHL Network or CSN. On Saturday, February 9th, they're going to have the Florida Panthers. They're going to be hosting the Florida Panthers at Verizon Center. That's another 7 p.m. puck drop on CSN. And on Tuesday, February 12th, they're going to be in Florida against the Florida Panthers at 7:30 on CSN. So that's the only games. It's a Thursday, Saturday, Tuesday until we talk again. We're going to have the Pittsburgh Penguins that pretty much embarrassed us. And then we're going to have the first two meetings of the Florida Panthers and the Capitals this season before we talk again. So any of those really jump out at you? What do you want to see in the next three games? Are there keys to these games, or are we just trying to get out with any kind of win that we can?
Well, coming off of the pathetic effort against the Maple Leafs on Tuesday, I got to think the Penguins game is going to be pretty big. It's in Pittsburgh, so you got all the Pens fans backing them. It's going to be a tough game. If they come out and they play well, and they play a full 60 minutes, even if they lose, at least we'll see that they've built upon something. And then I like to see them just go and jack Florida up. I think they were overrated last year. They had so many overtime losses or shootout losses that was up their point value so they could win the Southeast. I want to see them go and just beat them up. We'll see the return of Erskine, I'm assuming. We'll see the return of Erskine on February 9th, the Saturday game against Florida.
Hopefully we'll see him back in the lineup. Who knows? But a couple games coming up. Enjoy him if you can't be there at the games. Enjoy him on TV. Watch him before we talk again. And you can follow along if you're going to watch him live with Dan and I on Twitter. Like we said at the beginning of the show, I'm on Twitter at Brando Cash. Coach Dan, he's on Twitter at WTP Coach Dan. But Dan, also, you got other places where people can follow along with the show. So where can they go on Facebook and anywhere else?
Well, if you want to check out the show, go to facebook.com/WTP podcast. But Brandon, what about the Brando Cash Network?
That's right. If you like What the Puck or any of the other shows in the at Brando Cash Network, go to facebook.com/Brando Cash. Like us over there. You'll get to you'll get posts about whenever we have a new show or any kind of Caps news. We try to keep you updated as much as possible. I should be recording the next episode of The Call pretty soon, which is going to be our big Super Bowl episode since the Ravens came out victorious, Super Bowl champions. I don't think that my buddy Josh, I do the show with, has fully prepared for this show. I think he's still in shock and all that it actually happened. So I think that we'll get to that soon. But anyway, if you're a fan of What the Puck, I don't know how you're listening to it. There's a billion ways you can listen to What the Puck. If you're on Android or iPhone, you can download the Stitcher app, look up What the Puck, save it as one of your stations, and it's a streaming service. It's absolutely free, and whenever there's a new show, it pops up. I think it actually pops up a little bit quicker than iTunes, so Stitcher would be the way to go if I were you. But if you want to check us out on iTunes, we're also on iTunes. Look up What the Puck podcast, click subscribe. Whenever there's a new episode, it'll get downloaded automatically straight into your iTunes or on the podcast app if you have an iPhone. That way you don't have to hook up your phone to your computer or anything like that. You just hook up, or you just get the podcast app on your phone, subscribe on your phone, and all the podcasts, the recent ones, just show up straight on your phone. And we're also on podbean.com, whatthepuckcaps.podbean.com. So if you're bored at your office job or something like that and you just want to listen on your desktop, it's easy. You just click play. You can visit us. And if you have been there, thank you so much for visiting the channel. This past week, we hit over 4,000 channel visits, which is pretty amazing given the fact that we started off on iTunes in July, and we've had a lockout, and we've just gotten to actual live hockey in the last few weeks. So thank you so much for checking out the show on Podbean. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter. The biggest way you can help us, though, to keep this show growing and growing and growing is to just tell somebody about it. You know, we give this to you absolutely free. So the best thing that you can do is tweet tell people about it. Tell people on Facebook to check out the show. Go on Tumblr, on Pinterest, on Instagram. Use the new Vine app. Take a video of yourself listening to it and show people that you listen to What the Puck. Anywhere you want to talk about it. If you just want to call somebody or text somebody and tell them to do it, do that. Shake a stranger's hand and just say, hey, do you listen to What the Puck? It's pretty great. And just do that on the street. Now, if you get weird homeless people following you, not our problem, but... That's all. That's all I got to say. So thank you so much for listening to What the Puck. I'm Brando.
I'm Dan.
We'll see you next week.
This has been a production of the At Brando Cash Network.
Yeah, and he's not playing still. He's still having concussion-like symptoms, I believe.
We should probably cut this part out because I have no idea.
Oh, all right. Never mind. He's fine. He's playing right now.
Great. Best player. Yeah, whatever. All right.
But you know who we are going to talk about? How about Coco the Bear? He's up 83. Well, we're going to talk Hershey Bears and Reading Royals. Did you like that?
That was nice. That was slick.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Have you seen this hit?
I don't think I've seen that hit.
Then we should cut that part out. Because I have not either, but yeah.